We're in the studio today with Mayor Alan Harrison and David. Hello, Mayor Harrison.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation.
And hi, David.
Hello.
As usual.
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Well, hello, David. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
We want to basically talk about the downtown core today, but just to start off, we've probably interviewed you a number of times for various elections, but are you a Salmon Arm boy?
I am. I grew up in Salmon Arm, attended school here. Went to Okanagan College and, lived most of my life here.
And how long have you been involved with the city council?
Yeah, so I've been a councillor for about 20 years and the mayor for six.
And what made you decide to run for mayor?
Well, you know, I was a councillor for quite some time at the same time as being a school principal and a father to three kids. So that was quite a lot. Loved every minute of it. But once I retired from being a principal, I was motivated to run for mayor. I thought that would be something I'd like to do and something I could contribute to. And I was fortunate enough to be elected.
I imagine you've seen a lot of changes over the years in the downtown core.
Yes, absolutely. Lots of changes.
Backtracking just a little bit. Did the pandemic affect how the city was run?
It sure did. There was effects, of course, during the pandemic. And I think we learned lots of things about how we operate. And we applied some of those learnings to make things better. For example, now our council meetings at the city are of hybrid fashion, both virtual and in person. We had never done virtual meetings prior to the pandemic.
You find a lot more people attend when it's hybrid?
Yes, I think there's a level of comfort for some people attending virtually. Also, it's, you know, the media, it's much easier for them to attend virtually. When we have public hearings, sometimes people just want to listen, so they come on virtually. They can also speak, of course. I think it just is more inclusive, so I think it's a positive thing.
Where would people find a link to get onto a virtual meeting?
It's very easy, just going onto the city website, and you can find the links there for both planning meetings and for our council meetings. So, and if there's any difficulties, I'll just call us at City Hall. We will help.
When the pandemic hit, of course, many businesses closed their doors and shut down for a while. And then when we reopened, everything was really slow. Did the city do anything to help businesses as they reopened?
Financially, local governments are not permitted to assist business. However, there are things that we can do that make it easier for business. I guess one of the examples would be the installation of patios. We made that as absolutely simple as possible, and we're keen to help and encourage all businesses that want it to go that way. You know, I think it was an opportunity for businesses to be creative, to kind of think outside of the box into this new world, and I think many did. And they too, many did go online with products as well as bricks and mortar. So yeah, I think the city worked in concert with Downtown Salmon Arm, both promotion-wise and in things like the patio piece, to try to assist business in getting back on its feet.
We heard that initially there was a little bit of opposition towards getting patios out before the pandemic hit. Was there a reason for that?
I think the reason is that patios sit on parking spots. And so there was some concern that, you know, if there was too many patios and they were taking up too many parking spots, there would not be enough room for customers who wish to drive to businesses.
Which leads into the next question. We've been talking to a lot of businesses downtown, and most of them bring up the parking issue, that there's not enough and they want more.
Yeah, and that's understandable. I think there's a few things I can say about that. First of all, having a parking problem in a downtown area is not that bad, because that means there's people who want to go downtown to shop. So this is good in a sense. And we also understand that many of our residents, both within the city and outside the city, need to use their vehicles to get to places. And so, you know, we're a small city. There's some transit. There's some opportunity for biking and active transportation. But for the most part, most people live fairly far away and need to use their car to get there. So that's one piece. A second piece is we encourage all commercial use. And that includes malls, and we have several. And of course, those malls have large parking areas where people can park and shop. So we need to ensure that the downtown has an attraction, which includes parking, as easy as possible and free. So those are kind of the building blocks that the Downtown Parking Commission and Downtown Salmon Arm and the city share.
We've also heard from some downtown businesses that they would actually like to see a part of Alexander closed off and just made for walking traffic only.
Yes. As you know, we do close Alexander for special events. And I think what Downtown Salmon Arm would say, and businesses who have a real stake in how traffic travels in a downtown, that when there is a special event and we close down Alexander, it's a good thing. So, for example, a farmer's market, special events with music. There's lots of people down there. They're visiting their stores, and it's good for everyone. To close Alexander without that attraction, however, businesses are very leery, especially during off seasons, because if there's not a reason for people to go there and they need to walk a distance to get to your store, experience in other smaller towns has shown that it's not effective in the long run. One day I think so, but not yet.
I do want to say that the one thing I've noticed about you in your public life is that you often do take in the experiences of other towns. I've seen you do that many times.
Yeah, you know, you can learn from one another. And so when my wife and I go on holiday, she's a real sport. If we visit sewage treatment plants or downtown areas, parks, indoor walking tracks, you know, the things that we are doing, places that are closed off to traffic and other spots. And Kimberley's a perfect example. And I talked to a counselor from Kimberley just the other day. The businesses in that closed off space in Kimberley are not doing well.
Another aspect of closing off a street would be the loss of that many more parking spots as well.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, you think about the configuration of our downtown, it's kind of in two rectangles. You know, you could travel the inside sort of square rectangle, or you can travel the outside one around Ross. So if you take, you're right, David, if you take that through traffic piece away, you're on the outside. And like I say, one day I think, you know, there's large cities who do that, but you need to have volume to make it work.
So in the future plans for Salmon Arm, has a parkade been considered?
Yes, there is a parkade in the future plans, which is up on 4th. I think we're a ways away from that yet. One of the challenges I think that that the city has actually been a part of as far as parking goes over the last probably 2 years is our bylaw enforcement has certainly been distracted by other things. And we haven't been able to attend well enough to parking in the downtown. So this year, we were successful in funding a student who just does parking. His name is Donnie. Amazing young man. And in, I would say, 6 weeks, he has changed the parking pattern of many people who were not following the parking rules. Downtown Salmon Arm wrote us a letter for the last council meeting. Basically what it said was, the parking problem actually has been resolved because now we're enforcing the rules. One of the things that was happening, and I have empathy for the people that work downtown, but some of them were parking in front of stores and even stores they worked in. And every 2 hours they were moving their vehicle in front of another storefront, which is taking parking away from customers. And of course, if it's not enforced, there is nothing to stop you from doing that. And it's free. So since Donnie has started to ticket people who have not been following the parking rules, you'll notice when you drive downtown, for the most part, you can find parking. They did a quick sort of survey downtown Salmon Arm to check it out. They said at every time of the day, there was street parking available to people who are driving through. I myself have witnessed that.
I actually saw Donnie probably the first day or two on the job when he was with the older guys, showing them all the ropes.
Yes, you know what? He is a really fine young man, very resilient, very supported by downtown businesses. Our timing, not his timing, but the city's timing of his start date was not great because he started as we were paving the Ross Street parking lot. So that made parking even slimmer. probably wasn't the best time, but I'll tell you, the message got out in a hurry. And we need those parking on-street parking spots for customers. Businesses need them for customers. And that's what's happening now. So kudos to him. Kudos to those businesses who are supporting him. And I think it's working much better.
Just to quickly go over the big parking lot downtown, it was paved recently. And I know there were people on either side of the coin saying, way to go, taking away all the parking one more time. Can you straighten that out once and for all why that was done?
Sure. So, of course, you know, the city does all kinds of construction work. You see it done everywhere. And we do it as best we can not to interrupt. But when we pave, and Ross Street parking lot needed paving, but we also needed to do some underground work there. And so we do those things together. Paving companies, which service communities all over the province, you have to work within their schedule to a certain amount. And the actual paving piece does not take long. I mean, that parking lot was closed for a bit, but not long. So a little bit, it's short-term pain for long-term gain. But overall, I mean, look at that part of the downtown now. I mean, it is fabulous. All of the streets, the main streets, have been repaved, repainted, a lot of brickwork redone. Now we have the underpass. So I think it's functioning really well. And, you know, we try to message out and communicate out the best we can. Businesses overall were very supportive of the work we were doing there.
I noticed myself that particular project seemed to be completed in quite a short time. Hudson Street particularly is great now, because that was in pretty rough shape by the post office.
Yeah, it really did need to be redone. And we were quite satisfied with the contractor because he did as much work outside business hours as possible. But when you dig up a street, you can't just do that at night because you can't fill it in every day and then dig it back up. So there was some night work done as much as possible. And we were as sensitive to business as we could be. The overall result, and I agree with you, David, on Hudson Street, one of my favorites. Yeah, it looks really good now.
Mm-hmm. The underpass. You chose to do that during the pandemic. Was there a particular reason? I mean, we have been talking about an underpass for ages, and then you finally got it done. But was there a particular reason why it was done during the pandemic? And was that beneficial?
I think it was excellent timing and a fluke, because we didn't know the pandemic was coming. And it took incredible drive, hard work by staff, members of the community, contractors, and city council to make that happen. The fact that it happened during the pandemic in some ways was a positive thing because it employed lots of people. It kept hotels and restaurants fairly busy. Some stores were shut down anyways. So that worked out in a way. But if there wouldn't have been a pandemic, we were moving ahead anyways. And it's changed the way traffic moves in the downtown. I would say there's not very many people that live in Salmon Arm who haven't been through that underpass either in a car, on a bike, or walking. And every one of them says to me, we really like that underpass.
During that time, Lakeshore was actually turned into a one-way street. And I know a lot of people actually like that. Was there any thought of maybe keeping it that way?
Yeah, there was some thought. And we listened to what the folks had to say. There were several reasons that we decided not to do that. Lakeshore, if you turn it into one-way, when you go down Alexander, you only have one choice on ways to go. And it probably would be you'd have to go right. And so the effect on traffic flow and business, especially in particular parts of town, would have been negative. The second piece is the Beattie Railway Crossing. Low bed trucks cannot go over it because of the way it's built. And so low bed trucks have to use the Ross Street underpass. Now, there's not lots of them, but there are some. If we went one way on Lakeshore, it would have pushed those trucks right down through Hudson and around Ross, which would not have been safe, and it would not have been very easily done by those truck drivers. So there was a few reasons. I get it. It seemed like there was more parking when you angle park on Lakeshore, but I think the cons actually outweighed the pros in the long run.
Depending on who you talk to, it was either a good idea or not a good idea, because we've noticed different parts of downtown have different opinions on what benefits the downtown area and what kind of detriments are there. So I think, as you mentioned, the angle parking seemed to increase the parking. So of course, those businesses on Lakeshore were in favor, yet, like you said, with traffic being diverted down Hudson Street, may not have been looked at so favorably.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point. You know, we have such a variety of retail downtown. You know, we have everything from pet stores to stationery stores to cafes to food places, and they all have a different need. And so there's no one parking solution that answers everyone's need. So your point is well taken. I agree with what you're saying there.
Having said that, however, we've also heard that there's a camaraderie. Downtown businesses are very linked with one another in terms of being supportive and being willing to promote the downtown as a whole. So
yeah, and boy, they're doing a great job. Downtown Salmon Arm's a special place. It is a vibrant spot. There's so many cool things about it, from public art to flowers and trees to cool little shops and patios, and you know, there's something for everybody there. So those businesses are doing a fantastic job, because together, way stronger than separate, for sure.
And the people that open a business downtown, they're invested. They believe that downtown Salmon Arms is a special place, and they're doing everything they can to contribute to that, to make downtown Salmon Arm special and to encourage people to come downtown and shop. We hear about that all the time.
And I do as well. You know, something your listeners may not be aware of is the bricks and mortar banks are all in the downtown. And the reason for that is because our zoning bylaws do not allow primary bricks and mortar banks to be in any other zone except the downtown zone. So when the credit union, for instance, expanded, their primary institution needed to stay in the downtown if they wanted a second institution. And there is pressure from outside the city areas like malls to have banks there. But repeated councils over time have said no, because even though lots of us bank online, banks bring people, and those are important cornerstones of the downtown.
Every town has to have a thriving core. What do you see are the biggest challenges in keeping our downtown core thriving?
You're right. You need to have people live in the downtown core in order to, over time, to have it grow and thrive. So one of the advantages of the Ross Street Underpass was it connected residential housing to shops. Much, much easier now to get to the downtown shops without getting in your car if you live over there. So that was a benefit. There are certainly plans by the owner of Center Core parking lot at some time to build residential housing in there, probably above commercial. Now, the economics have to be right. The time has to be right. But allowed in the zone, downtown zone, is street commercial with a residential above it, up to, I think, 5 stories. So as we grow, that's the key. I mean, the key is to have people living close to the shops. And when you think about the core and you think about moving outside of the core, our densification is slowly getting there. That's one of the keys for sure.
How does Salmon Arm as a whole, and specifically downtown, manage certain social issues that are prevalent just about everywhere you go now, such as homelessness and the drug crisis, etc.? What approach has Salmon Arm taken to that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I appreciate it. So I think there's a few pieces. You know, I'd like to say to start with, it's important to have a compassionate and caring approach to people who are struggling. So we always have to keep that in the forefront when we work with people who are living in the streets. Having said that, there is a certain component of homelessness that brings with it undesirable behavior. And while cities are not responsible for the health system and treatment of issues like mental health and severe addiction, we, our community, like all communities, deal with the result of that. And so I know that's what we're talking about here. So a couple of things. First of all, in my travels, what I have learned is do not put shelter services or other kinds of services like safe injection sites and those kind of things in your downtown core. At one time, that was the thing to do. And some communities have done it. I was just in Nelson Shore a time ago. That's where their safe injection site is. It is causing nothing but problems. So where you put things is important, but it's also a challenge because the people who need services, say people who live in the shelter, the services generally are in the downtown core. So it's a challenge. As you know, our shelter is over on Beattie Street. That was a very, very carefully selected site because we needed a site that belonged to the city. That was our contribution. We do not pay for that shelter. We don't pay for the operation of it, but it's absolutely a necessary piece of infrastructure. So just outside the downtown core, I think is probably the best. People say, like, why do we need a shelter? The reason we need a shelter, well, there's a whole bunch of reasons. One is there's people without housing who need it. The other is if you do not have an alternative like a shelter, case law throughout the country has proven that you cannot move people from public space if they're sheltering there, for example, in tents. And we know that because we had tent encampments before we had a shelter. And legally, you could not move them. You can move them to another public space, but you have to have an alternative. So now we have a shelter which has space. Our bylaw officers, every day of the week now, 7 days a week, the first thing they do in the morning is they visit the seven parks of the city and they monitor them. And they know many of the people who are living in tents. And they very caringly redirect them to the shelter. Now, not everyone wants to live in the shelter, and so I understand that. But what it's prevented encampments from forming. And encampments are not safe. They're not safe for the people who live in them. They're not safe for the people who live around them. And you can see it. All you have to do is watch the news or go to another community. Our bylaw enforcement, supported by RCMP, have done a really good job of being compassionate and caring, but also on ensuring that the community does not have an encampment living outside it. What is the solution? We don't pretend to say we've solved the problem. I can only tell you my own personal solution, which I've shared as a mayor with ministers associated with healthcare in the province. And I think we need compassionate, involuntary care for people who are crying out in the streets for help because we see them. They need help. They have addiction, mental health issues. They cannot seek that help themselves. And so right now it's voluntary and it's not working because that same small number of people in each city are suffering every day and we see it. So I think there needs to be a relook at compassionate involuntary care where we could, the province could assist those people by moving them to the correct services and facilities on an extended period of time to help them break the cycle. Because otherwise we're going to continue to have people dying on the streets and we're going to continue to have the problem for businesses and residents who are having their places broken into because these people have to support their addiction. So that's the cycle that we're talking about.
We had spoken to a couple of different businesses downtown that where workers showed up in the morning and found people living outside their front entrance. Have you seen, since the shelter opened, have you seen a little bit less of that happening?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of the businesses, but I would say I can speak on behalf of the city. We have certainly seen less of it in public space, and I believe there's less of it in businesses. Not eliminated altogether, but yeah, overall, less. The shelter is well used, and it's used by a whole, like I don't like to generalize the word homelessness because there's such a spectrum. You know, we have seniors who are sleeping in their cars who are now staying at the shelter. We have young people who have not been able to live in their family home for whatever reason, who have been couch surfing out in the community, pretty unsafe, who are now in the shelter. And the shelter provides service. So the whole idea is to break that cycle so that they can move from the shelter, a temporary housing situation, to a low-cost rental, which is also provided at Cedar and Birch as well. So, yes, I would say there certainly has been less. Yep.
Recycling has taken place throughout Salmon Arm, but what about the downtown area? Do we have any recycling in place apart from cardboard?
Of course, the city provides recycling, composting, garbage service, curbside for 7,000 residential units in the city. It's much more complex to provide it for commercial use. And so most of those commercial users have to rely on private garbage recycling providers. So this time, no.
Maybe sometime in the future?
Yes, I'm listening for really good ideas that people have about that. It's not as easy as it sounds because we're talking about volume differences. And how you would do that is challenging. But probably not impossible. So I've thought about it a lot, but I don't have the solution.
What would you like to see in the future for our city?
You know, I think there are many things that have caused us to come here. And so whatever we do, we want to make sure that we don't lose that. So maintaining really important foundational pieces for people. And how I see those foundational pieces are like green space, park space, spaces to walk, small town arts and culture and recreation, keeping our lakefront and our lake safe and clean. You know, all of it, we want to keep those things. At the same time, we want to grow. You know, we need to move forward, and we want to attract a diverse population, diverse in every possible way. We want to attract young families here. We want to attract people from other places. Everybody contributes. And so, yeah, I think both of those pieces, we also want to grow smart. So growth for just the sake of growth, I think back in the 70s, 80s, it was a bit like that. And so if you observe communities that went through that, they are long stretched out, enormous traffic problems, and now they're trying to fill in. So we want to try to do the opposite. We want to try to start in the middle and work out. So that's why we have an urban containment boundary. Urban containment boundary, that's the place we supply services for development. If you want to develop outside that, you have to supply your own services. Basically makes it uneconomic. So we get pressure from outside the urban containment boundary, but you know, there's lots of room inside still. So yeah, I guess those are kind of some of the things I see for the future.
One of the reasons we started this project was because when we drove around town, you noticed that there were a lot of empty stores. And there's been a lot of turnover since we began this project as well. What would you say to businesses who come and look and see a business was here this week, but it's gone the next? Why should I open my store if there doesn't seem to be as much longevity in being able to keep it open?
You know, I think there's a number of reasons why that might happen. Shopping habits certainly change. And so you have to be dynamic. You have to have a niche. And it's just like in local government. You have to be creative, and you can't do things perhaps the way they used to be because people shop differently now. But having said that, there is lots of very successful businesses in a downtown that are creative, work both inside the bricks and mortar and outside the bricks and mortar, have outstanding service and caring for customers, and provide a product that isn't necessarily readily available, say, through online shopping. So there's a whole recipe involved, I think, in successful retail, but we have lots of successful retail. And I understand that there is turnover in the downtown for sure. I would venture to say, though, that our downtown retail is fuller than just about any other one that I visit anywhere. So that says a lot for those people down there, I think.
Do you often hear of new businesses that want to come in? And if so, are there a lot of businesses that want to come to Salmon Arm?
Yes, for sure. We're just about at the 20,000 threshold population-wise. That's an important threshold because, of course, businesses look at numbers. We operate our economic development services here, as you know, at an arm's length, where the city funds economic development, and Lana Fitt and her team do an incredible job. And their two jobs are, one, support of local business, and two, business attraction. And so really the way that you attract business now is not the way it used to be. The way you attract business now is by showcasing your community to be a great place to live with quality of life. Didn't used to be like that as far as business attraction goes. And so I know economic development reaches out in every way. And, you know, a small city, big ideas motto is, you know, over the past 5 years, has actually changed the way people have looked at our city. I get lots of calls from people interested, and of course I welcome them and I pass them over to economic development to assist from there. So yes, there is a lot of interest in Salmon Arm, both from potential businesses, larger housing developments, and just people who live in other places who would like to come here.
As people desire to move to Salmon Arm, is it necessary to bring industry along with it? How does that work where people move here and have to make a living for their family and for the tax base, etc.?
Absolutely. The manufacturing, processing part of business is the part that we need to attract the most because those are the places that offer living wages and attract people who are able to relocate with their families to here. It's a hugely important piece. We are really fortunate that members of council and the community in the past established the industrial park out on Otter Road for a whole bunch of reasons. One, it's close, but it's far, so it's easily to get there, but it's not bothering anybody. There is still potential for development there, and we've established some other lands as well. A credit to the salmon arm business community, about 4 years ago, the people in the industrial park got together with the businesses because there was a different tax rate if you were a business in the industrial park or if you're a business downtown. The M1 in the industrial park paid a higher rate of taxes than the businesses downtown. People in industrial park said, you know what, we're attracting people here and it would assist us if the tax rate was lower. Would you consider having an equal tax rate for those two? They came to the city and said, this is what we want to do. So the actual business community recognizes that you have to have those places to work. And I'm fortunate I get to tour some of them. There is some incredible, innovative things that are happening out in that industrial park. Everything from caribou reproduction centers being built to mushrooms being picked to, you know, you name it, it's happening. It is on the cusp of innovation. And that reputation's out there. And so other businesses of like ilk look at that. And yeah, it's very important to add that piece of the tax base. We are fortunate because there's lots of places that are reliant on perhaps just one of those industries, like the forest industry. And you can see what happens when that takes a turn and the big mill in the small town shuts, you are in difficulty. So diversity of industry and of business, very important goal.
I remember years ago, the big thing at the industrial park was the rice cake factory. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the innovation of the time.
That was,
yeah.
Speaking of diversity, I was just up at the college last week, and I assume that's all housing for students is being built up there. When do you expect that to be completed?
It's impressive to see, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that is a provincial project in concert with Okanagan College, 40 units for students. It is going to change the way that college works. So important, because now students who have a specific set of courses they want to take that do not live here with their parents, perhaps, are going to be able to come to Salmon Arm, live in those units, and attend college. Likewise, in the summer when they aren't being used, there's alternatives. The ready date, I think this fall is the ready date. That's the goal. So we've, of course, worked with the province and the developers to make that happen, but we can't pat ourselves on the back and say it was because of us it happened. We were just one little piece of the cog, but that housing piece is really, really important.
Was the influx of all these students considered to be an impact to the downtown core as well, as far as shopping goes?
Yeah, I mean, I think all people who come here, and in particular young people, are adding a really important piece. You have to have a critical mass of like-minded folks in order to change culture. And so that's what we're working on. And young people are a culture in their own. For instance, evening openings of restaurants and stores in the downtown. Those businesses, many of them are family operated. They can't work all day and all night. And you have to have a clientele that is willing and wants to come in the evening and spend time in your operation. Well, we're getting there slowly. As you can see, there is some restaurants and they're attracting, they're a specific kind of place. I'll use Canooligans out in Canoe as an example because it's not in the downtown. Canooligans attracts a certain kind of people, and we all like to go there from time to time, but they need regular customers. And if you go there on their special events, I mean, when I go there at special events, I'm the oldest guy around. And so this is a really good thing. When my kids come to town, they want to go to the night cafe. They want to go to Canooligans. You know, there's a niche there. So college students, for sure, that's going to help.
We recently had the torch lighting ceremony for the upcoming Seniors 55 Plus Games in September, which you were speaking at. How do you see that benefiting Salmon Arm?
First of all, I'm absolutely looking forward to those games, to greeting the 2,600 participants and people who come along with them to our city. Such an opportunity. I'm fortunate enough to have played tennis with my wife in several of them, and we're going to play again here. I think I can fit it into the things that are happening there because it's a huge team effort. When we apply for the 55 plus games, and we are the smallest city ever to host those games, when we applied, we were very careful about when we applied. Most of the 55 plus games are held in August. Well, for us, that did not make sense. We've got lots of people here in August. hotels are full in August. You know, the business community is doing okay. So we wanted to hit a shoulder season. So that's why they're September 10th to 14th. So that is very good for our town because it's going to extend from Roots and Blues in July, Fair in August, 55 plus games in September. It's going to extend that season, which is good for all of those businesses. As I say, I've attended a few 55 plus games, and the people that come to those games, first of all, serve a fantastic example for everybody. Like, they're people who are active and have energy. They also come, for the most part, willing to spend money. And this is a part of it. The economic spinoff, we can't pretend that that's not one of the reasons we're doing it, because it's one of the reasons we are doing it. The economic spinoff is great. Very difficult to get a hotel room between September 10th and 14th in Salmon Arm right now. RV sites are almost full. And there's a effect on our surrounding region, Enderby, Sycamuse, Chase, Armstrong. Like, we're in this together. It's good. If we do something, it's good for them. If they do something, it's good for us. So yeah, am I excited? Absolutely excited.
Are these games, all the events in Salmon Arm, or are there some events, for example, maybe in Sorrento or any outlying areas that are participating in events?
Sure. So there's events and then there's activities. The events, such as the torch lighting and the welcoming ceremony and downtown music, those are all taking place in Salmon Arm. And for the most part, they're taking place in the downtown. There's an event taking place at the curling rink, at Shaw Center, of course. As far as activities go, so there's 64 hockey teams coming to Salmon Arm. Well, we can't manage 64 hockey teams. So thank you to Chase and to Sycamuse and to Armstrong, because they are going to help with those sports. And there's some spillover on some of the other sports as well, where we'll be able to co-host with some of our neighbors. But for the most part, the 22 sports that are being offered, from horseshoes to crib to pickleball, are being offered in Salmon Arm. That was our goal, was to try to, there's sports that you must offer, and then there's alternative sports that you can offer. So we wanted to keep it in Salmon Arm, and that's one of the reasons why track and field's not in there, because we do not have the facility to do it. And we did not like the alternative of moving it as far away as Vernon, because it would split those games. We want it to be a focus on our city.
Did Salmon Arm have to put out any money to build anything for the games?
There's a $50,000 contribution that you have to put in when you apply. That's not to build infrastructure, but rather, I think there's a couple of reasons. One, it's to make sure you're really interested. And two, the BC Games province then matches it plus to help with the operation of the games. We have improved some of the sporting facilities in the city, and a lot of the volunteers at some of the others have just polished their facilities up because they got guests coming. They know it. So the actual amounts of money have not been great as far as what we have spent. For example, the pickleball courts at Klahani, there's six dedicated pickleball courts there, and they were in need of resurfacing. I mean, they needed to be resurfaced. And maybe we would have done it next year or done it the year after, but 55 plus games are coming. We did it. And the multi-use courts beside, we painted pickleball lines on there because there's 360 pickleball players coming here and they need lots of courts to play. So those are examples. Things like the horseshoe pitch and the lawn bowling, you know, they applied for small amounts of money for materials to fix up their facilities, and we granted them through our grant and aid. So, yeah, all of those things have combined. And, of course, corporate sponsorship and business sponsorship. I mean, Salmon Arm just never stops. So impressive, those businesses that put forward monies to host events, to help with volunteers. We have about over 800 volunteers signed up now. So, yeah, it's kind of been a team effort, I think.
Sounds like a real win-win.
Yeah, I think it is. It's also a lot of hard work for a number of people. I mean, there is a group of directors who are working extremely hard to pull this together, and a group of volunteers. So huge appreciation for them.
Is it important for a town like Salmon Arm to focus on preservation of, for example, certain buildings or a certain heritage aspect?
Salmon Arm established a heritage commission in 2012, and that heritage commission is a very effective city committee made up of volunteers, mostly who are just really interested in preservation of heritage, and they've done so much. For example, all of the heritage signs you see in the city, It's because of those folks. And there's numerous other things they've done. We've also established a heritage register. The local register is just a recognition of places of heritage in the city. And there's probably about 40 houses, commercial. It does not guarantee that those places will be preserved, actually. It's important to understand the differentiation between heritage register that the city has and provincial recognition. We only have 3 places in Salmon Arm that are identified by the province as being of heritage value. Haney House, the art gallery, and the a part of the old courthouse downtown. So being on the heritage register in Salmon Arm, what that means is if someone comes and wants a demolition permit for that building, it's delayed, it goes to council first. Then council has to make a decision. You can't just say, no, you can't take it down. There has to be financial compensation for the owner of that building. And often that financial compensation is great. And so it would have to be very significant, I think, for a council to say, yes, the taxpayers are going to pay to perhaps purchase or offset the cost of fixing it up, etc. As you know, we're blessed to have Haney Heritage Village and Museum out there. And I mean, that is an incredible place. City helps fund it, but volunteers run it and fundraise lots of money to do it. So that's the way the heritage register works. It also, a person who has a heritage house can improve that house in any way they want, get a building permit, improve it in any way they want. So yeah, is heritage preservation important? It is important. And there's a time and place for it. So I think councils have to be wise as they select when to intervene there.
We did have some discussion with previous guests on the call of interest towards the Salmar Classic building. So it'd be interesting to see what comes of that. But another building that comes to mind would be the CPR train station. And that got me wondering, is there a reason that the railroad no longer is part of the transportation route of Salmon Arm?
We would love to have the old railway station. If you go to Elkford, for example, the city has managed to purchase theirs, and there's an art gallery and a restaurant, and I mean, it's just wonderful. So when we were building the Ross Street underpass, we certainly looked at that. The cost and the complication involved did not make the timing right, and we did not want to lose sight of the project we were trying to do, and it had the potential of taking it off the rails, so to speak. We didn't want to do that at that time. The use there presently by CP is really an industrial use. It's not really appropriate for the site, but they do own it and they own the land. So we encourage their long-term plans to include moving to a more appropriate site. And perhaps at that time, that opportunity will come about, because I think there's probably many in the city who would be interested in helping to purchase that building. It's a classic building from the past. Talk about heritage preservation. As far as the Rocky Mountaineer goes, interesting, I was just at a conference in Kamloops, and one of the things I chose to do was to visit the Rocky Mountaineer site. And they stop in Kamloops, of course, but their route is a 2-day route. Start in Vancouver, stop in Kamloops, go from Kamloops over to Banff, right? So, you know, we've investigated that. It's really not a possibility, actually, given the economics. So we rely, I know they're not Rocky Mountaineers, it would be wonderful to have it. We rely on bus tours, and lots of businesses rely on bus tours, which is sort of like a train. And they're just more flexible as far as moving, you know, to and from places. So that's kind of the situation there.
Salmon Arm train station also being a place of legend, but we won't go into that.
You could hold it up on the radio and no one would know.
Mayor Harrison, is there anything you would like to impart to our community that we haven't touched on?
Oh, we touched on a lot, so appreciate all of the questions. You know, I think we're pretty fortunate to live where we live. And I know when I speak with residents, whether it's out on the Raven Trail or up in Park Hill or doing one of the activities in town, people really feel that way. So we have to be careful with what we have. At the same time, I think people recognize that we need to move forward in a measured sort of way. So that would be my parting words, I think.
Thank you very much, Mayor Harrison. It was great talking with you.
Yes, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.